And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
All right. Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. It's the Corey and Rick show today. Pete's up and is an Alaskan adventure right now, getting ready to have the, I know they're doing a little of exploring of the beautiful state of Alaska up there pre our Whalers Cove trip. They're going to start fishing Whalers Cove here in just a couple of days. And
how killer did that report sound yesterday?
Oh, man, from Captain John Beef, it sounded great. And anxious to hear how those guys do great silver salmon fishing, that shallow water black cod that they're doing. Yeah, it sounded like he's going to be in for a really, really good one. But, man, speaking of good ones, we're having such a good time today. Again, if you didn't catch the first hour of the show, it's just Corey and I hanging out, no guests, taking your phone calls, talking fishing, talking fun, lots of information today. And, man, we'd love to have you join us. This is a show for you today, and we want to answer your questions.
Well, put it this way. We're giving away two $100 gift packs. I'm going to put together a pack of MC Swim Baits, throw in a hat, at least $100 worth of goodies.
That's cool,
going
buddy.
To two different callers today. Give us a shout, 833-288-0973. We'll let you know when a line opens. They are full at this point, but that's the number.
Yeah, you got it, man. It's been a busy morning, and with all this catching that's going on, we got to do some cooking as well. And we got the man standing by, Yanni from Fisherman's Bellies, online right now. Good morning, Yanni.
Good morning, gentlemen, and good morning to all the fishermen out there. I got to tell you, super show today. You guys are so loosey-goosey today. It's just amazing.
It's like the boss is away, so the guys are playing.
I know. You know, I've been getting a lot of emails. You know, I'm trying to teach fishermen how to cook, and I've been getting a lot of emails from fishermen that are saying, I just need a quick, simple, easy recipe, you know, help me out. So this week I put together a fried tuna steak recipe that's probably the fastest recipe I've ever created. And I created it out of necessity during the week. My wife gave me a text and said, hey, I'm on my way home. What's for dinner? So I'm telling you, I reached into the fridge, grabbed a couple of tuna fillets, heated up the skillet, threw together a quick tomato salad, and within a half an hour, she walked in the door, and there it was.
I like it, man. That's perfect. And a fish, you know, that probably a lot of us have in our freezer, and a unique, quick way to make a great meal.
Full of flavor and impact, and believe me, it'll turn you into a gourmet cook. The next thing you know, your wife will be saying, when are you going fishing again?
I like your style, buddy.
Awesome.
Yanni, appreciate that very much. If somebody wants to see that great recipe, and better yet, see all the ingredients and the great steps that you do with videos and everything like that, how do we find you?
You bet, you guys. I'm on fishermansbelly.com, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram under Fisherman's Belly. And by the way, I'm on my way to Hawaii for a couple of weeks, and I'm searching and hunting for new pokey recipes, and that's what's coming next.
Right on, man. I like the sounds of that.
Talking my speed, Yanni.
Yanni, awesome. great job. Fishermansbelly.com. We'll look forward to talking to you again real soon. Have a great trip over in Hawaii.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, you guys.
I appreciate that very much. Let's jump back into the phones, Corey.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Reggie. Reggie calling from Camarillo. Good morning. Welcome. Let's Talk Hookup.
What's up, Reggie?
Yeah. Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing today?
We couldn't be better, man. We're having fun.
Yeah, you guys are, man. I tell you what. You guys need to do this format more often, man. It's just keeping it wide open like this is very, you know, informative for everyone out there.
Yeah, we're having a good time, buddy.
Hey, so Rosie's an awesome lady. I'm going to Cedros next month for my first time, and I'm that guy that whenever I go fishing, I bring way too much stuff. Like, on a full-day trip, I bring, like, 6 rods. So my question is, how many rods should I bring, and, like, what should I do to pack lightly on this trip?
Oof, that's a tough one, Reggie. Man, that is – you're asking, like, the most difficult question. I think – do they have loaner rods down there, Rick? Is there?
Do they? Sure.
Okay.
But are guys like us probably going to take advantage of that?
Maybe
probably
not.
Probably not.
But,
you know what
but,
I mean?
But here's, so when Reggie takes six rods on an overnight trip or whatever, think about it, Reggie. You'd probably rather have your own reel with your own line and maybe a loaner rod. I mean, maybe take your four favorite rods and what do you think, Rick?
I think this. So, Reggie, let me do this. I can tell you for sure the minimum amount of tackle that you could do that trip, no problem. And just know that this is a do as I say, not as I do. Because you are asking the worst person for packing light. I take way too much stuff down there because I like to do a lot of different things. Surface iron yellowtail fishing is probably my favorite thing in the world. And I bring two surface iron rods. That's for sure not necessary. In a given scenario, I like to fish a Trinidad 20 with 40-pound mono and a long rod. But we also do a lot of fishing near kelp areas, and I like to have a kelp cutter type rig, which for that I use a Tranx 500, an 80-pound Power Pro, and a little piece of 60-pound fluorocarbon. So those two rigs for sure could be combined. You don't need to have two jig sticks. The light pack for down there would be one bass rod, one surface iron rod, and one, like, utility, call it a 50-pound rod, something that you could fish a yo-yo jig on, you could slow troll a mackerel on, you could fly line a mackerel, you could troll a Rapala if you needed. So those three things are all that you, finger quote, need on a trip like that. Expanding from there, I really like fishing calico bass down there as well, and I like to fish a weedless bait, and I like to fish a 5-inch leadhead bait. Could you do that on the same rod? Of course you could. But a guy like myself,
I mean, how am I going to do that?
That's what I'm saying. And I know Reggie's that right, same way. Right. You know what I mean? Like, so I like to have two bass rods at minimum. I like to have one surface iron rod at minimum, and I'd like to have one, you know, utility rod at minimum. And I think that is a fair amount that you could go down there. That's four rods, two bass rods, a surface iron rod, and a utility, you know, called a 7-foot, 50-pound type rod. I brought a CalStar 7400 heavy with a Talica 12.
And I see an importance in it, maybe a backup reel or two in the mix there because, you know, the reel might malfunction or, you know, you dump your line on one. I mean, on the bass gear, Reggie, there's a lot of times that those 30, 40-pound yellows are in 5 feet of water.
That's a great call.
And they're actually a pain in the rear, trust me, because on bass gear, they're just going to spool you, which is, you know, you're all high-fiving each other. You just had the time of your life, but now you're doomed,
yeah.
You know?
And then, go ahead, Reggie.
So talk to me about the MC swim baits. I've never fished those before, and I would love to try them. So, like, which ones would you take down there that, I mean, I heard Rosie talking about some of her favorite, like the Christmas tree or whatever, but, like, if you could pick the MC swim bait to take down there, which one would it be?
A lot of guys are bass gurus, Reggie, will tend to go to the larger baits, which is cool. Like Rick, you know, fished a 7-inch Viejos. But what happens, as he mentioned, is they inhale the hook, they inhale the head of the bait, and the back end of the tail is hanging out of the mouth, and the 3 to 30 buddies that are following the one calico are now eating the tail off. So
that happened all the time.
All the time. So
wow.
To use a 5-inch bait,
yeah,
they inhale the whole thing. It's down their throat. 90% of the time, it's in their mouth and is not vulnerable to another calico eating it. So 5-inch, by far, is probably the most popular.
I'll agree. I just really like fishing that 7-inch bait.
It's a cool bait.
It's cool to see. You know, it's a big profile you're throwing. It gets good bites. But I'll back that 5-inch story up. The last trip I went down, you know, previous to this one with Dallas, she fished nothing but 5-inch baits, mostly 5-inch Viejos. I fished a lot of big 7-inch baits. I fished 8-inch baits. Her four big fish, she had four fish that were all bigger than my biggest. You know, she had a 9, a 7, and 2 in like the mid-6s. To me, having one, you know, my big fish was probably 6, 6.5 pounds. So it's not like a 5-inch bait doesn't draw big bites. She had multiple fish
That's
bigger
crazy.
Than mine. All fishing 5-inch and all fishing deep. You know, she did a lot of, you know, kicking the reel out of gear, letting that lead head and 5-inch sink down a kelp stock where I was trying to get the visual and the fun bites and winding real fast. But fishing a lead head and fishing deep provided more big bites for her than it did for me.
And what's cool too, Reggie, is we didn't talk about Rosie, but I talked about it with Rick off air. Is there some kelp coming back?
Good kelp.
And to have the kelp around the island is really a cool thing. It just adds, it's that added structure, brings a bass to the surface, there with the El Nino stuff for a few years, the kelp was nearly non-existent, and to hear it's coming back, it's just prolific, and it's life in the waiting.
You can't ask me the right number of baits to bring because I bring way too many. But I think if you brought a couple dozen 5-inch, and then maybe 10 or a dozen 7-inch, and a half a dozen 8-inch weedless baits, I think that would get you through a plenty good trip where you caught a lot of fish.
If you went through those, you had an awesome time. And I have people coming to the booth every year at Long Beach, a Fred Hall show, Reggie, and I tell them roughly the same thing, like, don't overbuy, just, you know, make sure it's what you want to do, and next year they come, Reggie, it's 50 of this color and 50 of that color and 50 of the other one. And it's the honesty that carries through, really, and just take enough to have a good time. Definitely take a couple hard baits in your mix too,
yeah.
Reggie. You know,
yeah.
Like maybe okay. A couple of the Nomad lures or.
I was fishing a Colt Sniper jerk bait, the lipped version in a 140 size, and they smashed that.
Yeah,
thing.
They'll smoke it. You know, and it's not as friendly near the kelp or, you know, through the thickest part of it, but it'll definitely work. And put it this way, if you run out of baits, you know your hard bait's going to work. And another big tip that I'll give you is do not use light leader line.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Use a much heavier leader than you think you're going to need so you're not breaking off lead heads and you're not breaking off hard baits.
I caught a lot of calico bass. It was very, very good fishing. Every day I would tie on a new piece of 60-pound Seaguar Blue Label fluorocarbon, and I have the same lead head tied onto my rod that I started with. It looks awesome. It's a Warbait's head, and one of the eyeballs is missing, and the weed guard's darn near fluffed out to nothing, and there's all kinds of scratches down it. But I never lost a single lead head the whole trip. Because you fish real heavy, when it eventually does get hung up in the kelp, you can rip it free.
Dude, and it could be a 30 to 50-pound sea bass one cast.
Totally.
It could be the same thing on a yellowtail. It could be a 8, 9, 10-pound calico, too, so heavy leader.
You're about to experience a place that bites so well, they will absolutely not steer away from biting a lure that's attached to 60-pound. And you know, if you're going down there hoping to catch an 8 or a 9-pound bass, you don't know when that fish is going to bite, whether it's, you know, the first cast, you know, that you make of the day, or if it's the cast after catching 40 bass in a row and having your line all nicked up. And when you're fishing 50-pound and 60-pound, you know you're going to have the strength to deal with it, you know, even if it's after shagging 60 bass for the day.
When are you going, Reggie?
Our trip is on September 23rd, that whole week there. So,
dude,
really,
man, you're so good.
You're going to have to call.
If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't have even booked it. But because you guys had Rosie on the show like last year, and we're like, dude, let's do this. So, advice, and then I talked to the guys that we chartered the boat on every month, and we said, let's do this, and we booked it, and now we're getting close to that trip, and we're excited, man.
I'm pumped for you, buddy. Well, I wish you the best of luck. Don't hesitate to call or reach out if there's anything we can do as the packing continues, man. Happy to go about it, and you can't go wrong. It's a really, really fun time.
You guys, and thank you very much for taking my call this morning.
All right, Reggie, appreciate that very much. Let's now find out what's going on the water, Corey.
Man, such a good time on the show today. The Catch Report is sponsored by the Fish Pros of Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the landings. Let's see here. Now the trip returns to the San Diego landings. Now with Fish Pros of Market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked, jerkied fish, spices, rubs, smoked cheeses, and their famous tuna burgers at their convenient Liberty Station location or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. And spices and rubs are now available at Dana Landing on Mission Bay, like we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
So you can check it all out there and pick up their poke mix, like Steve was mentioning.
So good.
Nothing but good times.
You got it, buddy. Well, hey, we got the man, Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide, is on the line with our fishdope.com report. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, Rick, Corey, good morning, guys. You guys are talking. You're right in my wheelhouse. Calico bass all day, every day.
Bring it on. There's nothing like it, right?
Nope, it's the best in the world. I just, you know, I finished up that interview with my dad, and just like all the old timers, you talk to them. These guys caught millions of giant tuna, Frank Lopresti, the guys. Their favorite fish to fish for is calico bass.
I love it.
These guys, all the old timers love calico bass. All the young guns love calico bass. Yeah. It's just the thing. I remember fishing calicos with live mackerel at San Clemente Island back in the 70s and 80s, and you couldn't put on heavy enough line. You had to have 60 or 80 pound all the time. So
yeah, it's pretty damn
they're
cool
not
stuff.
Shy.
Yeah, they're not shy. That's for sure. Speaking of not shy, Dave, I know you've had some good fishing.
Yeah, well, you told me you were going to go down to the island and Pete was going to leave and they were going to bite, and you guys were absolutely right.
You're welcome, buddy.
On, what was it, Thursday or Friday? I can't remember what day it was. We got five of those big bluefin over there at San Clemente Island. We probably had 20 blow-ups on the rubber flying fish. It was pretty spectacular on the west end, away from the fleet, all by ourselves up west there. You just don't know where they're going to show up. Now they're all the way over to Catalina again on the Farnsworth. Here we go, guys. Like we were saying, August, September looks like it's going to be insane. Look at that yellowfin's down there on the 9 right now. There's kelp patty yellowtail. There's Dorado trickling in. I don't think we're even close to anywhere of this thing being over with yet. And then the bass fishing at Catalina and San Clemente Island's on fire. I know you saw those pictures, Rick. We made a little calico bass blanket for those bluefin.
What a good time.
You know me. You know me. I got to catch my calicos first before we go bluefinning, because you just don't know if you're going to get them or not. It's that dang bluefin, so you better put some fish on the boat first. So, well, it's good fishing, guys. All I can say is you got to go fishing.
No doubt about it. Well, it's a type of fishing where technique is definitely of some importance. And, you know, fishing, whether it be fishing yummy flyers or fishing frozen flyers or whatever, it's a new thing to a lot of people. And I know that you've done a lot of work trying to explain the techniques and rigging and things like that on your website, Your Saltwater Guide. If somebody wants to get more information on how to rig, we do that through you. And if somebody wants information on where to go to get them, we do that through fishdope.com. I know you spend all that time on the water. You always press fresh info over to Danny. And you can save $20 off of a new membership to fishdope.com by entering the code HOOKUPNOW. It's HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase with no space. Save you $20. And if somebody wants technique, style, info, the great interview you've been doing with your dad, how do we find you on your website, Dave?
Guys, go check out yoursaltwaterguide.com. And Ricky, they're loving all those knot videos you made. There's so many comments on those things. So thank you so much for spending the time with me. And someday I'll get to sit down with the legendary Corey and go over this plastic rubber bait thing that's the big craze that people want to know about. One day he'll let me interview him.
There's not a better guy in the world for it, for sure. Dave, great job. Glad you've been having such good success in those big ones. Keep it up. Go get them.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you next Sunday. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the phone call very much. Phones are packed, man.
They are, literally, Rick. And let's talk to Rich. Rich and Bradley, welcome to the show this morning, Rich.
What's up, Rich?
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for being there. You've got some great information today and a lot of the nuts and bolts and how-to stuff. And with that in mind, I'm hoping you can address a couple of details for me about halibut fishing. You talked about the 8-inch slug, and that was really cool. And I'm wondering about what size hook you would rig if you were using that, if you would rig it off of a dropper loop or maybe actual drop shot style. The hooks and things like that are one of the things that hardly ever gets mentioned when we're talking about Corey's MC swim baits. And right along the halibut line, I'd like to know what size lead head you would use for fishing the bay, or if you're out in the open ocean, and would you vary your presentation, whether you're in that hard rock area or on the sand? So there's a whole bunch of inside baseball that I'm hoping maybe you can cover for me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really good, Rich. So a lot of what I do in Mission Bay, where it's like 10 to 15 feet, you know, water forever, I'll use as light as a half-ounce lead head, very small.
Yeah, especially for a bait that big.
It is, very small, or maybe at the most 3/4 of an ounce. And that's when there's a lot of current and it's tough to keep it down. But the whole trick and the whole deal is to not let it sink like a rock, okay? You want the diversionary falling action to look lively and have it fall with the least amount of weight is the way you get that. Okay. So you don't want to overdo it. If I'm fishing 40, 50 feet of water on the hard stones outside of Mission Bay or south of Point Loma, that kind of thing, that's going to be 3/4 to 1 ounce. You want to get it down and work it and do it that way. But predominantly it's going to be 1/2 ounce, 3/4 of an ounce for almost everything I'm doing. And it's a really I don't have any other way to describe it than sexy. That thing just looks incredible in the water. And you want to keep it near the bottom, and I wind it in a couple feet, let it sink again, wind it up a couple feet, let it sink again, and that's where the bites happen.
It's the fall.
It's on the fall.
Okay.
And don't think you need trap hooks or anything like that. I use a very short shank lead head. The shorter the better. You want it right up at the head. All those bites are coming right at the head. The bigger the bait, the more likely they are to go straight for the head.
Using a boxer, a war bait, a boxer head, bullet. I mean, what do you
boxer
like?
Head's a perfect one. They have a larger hook for their typical half ounce. Mm-hmm. Efren stuff is good too. And there's not much to it. It's so simple, Rich. It really is.
Spectra, mono, fluoro. What do you like?
50-pound braid, and I'll use in the bay a 30-pound leader.
Okay.
Like no BS, just straight 30. If I'm fishing a 3/4 ounce, I might go to a 40-pound leader.
That answer your question for you, Rich?
About the alternate rigging of maybe a drop shot or dropper loop style.
So what that does, you actually nullify the action. You're taking away. If you look at it in the water on a lead head, you'll completely understand what we're talking about. Mm. If you put it on a dropper loop or put it on a that kind of a style, it's there, but it doesn't have the dancing action.
You're only getting the shake. You're not getting darting, wounded bait fish.
Will it
fall?
Work? It'll work, but it's not going to work like it is on a lead. On a lead head, it is a very violent, reactionary bite. And what you're describing will work for rockfish and will work for lingcod. That's probably a really, really good technique for lingcod fishing.
Our favorite up in southeast Alaska,
yes,
for sure. You know,
absolutely.
But still, fished as you describe, you know, fished on a lead head. That's what we use for rockfish and lingcod. We don't because it's that fall. It dances as it's sinking, and you lift it up, and it shoots to the left. And when you lift it up the next time, it shoots to the right. And then you lift it up, shoots to the right again, and back to the left. There's just no. It's very unique every time.
And that's why I'm saying, Rich, you got to look at it in the water, and the pieces of the puzzle will all come together in 10 seconds.
That's awesome. Hey, Rich, really appreciate the phone call. Hope you have some great success with it.
We're having such a fun morning. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to wrap it up here the next half hour. Lines are jammed. We're going to be back on 97.3 The Fan.
This is Captain Art Taylor of The Searcher. Celia and I and everyone at Team Searcher would like to thank all of our customers for a successful 2018 season. Are you searching for an affordable fishing adventure from 1.5 to 7 days in length? The Searcher has an outstanding crew, great food, air-conditioned cabins and galley, and an RSW system to preserve your catch. Our 2019 schedule is available now. Book your fishing adventure online at searchersportfishing.com or call our office at 619-226-2403. That's 619-226-2403.
When it comes to Southern California sport fishing, two names stand out: Fisherman's Landing Tackle and Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern. We have the most complete selection of Shimano saltwater rods and reels, like Talica, Trinidad, and Tranks reels, plus Terramar and Therese rods. Our professional saltwater experts at Fisherman's Landing Tackle have the know-how to help you choose the right Shimano rod and reel for your next trip. When it comes to Shimano gear, you owe it to yourself to visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew is always looking for ways to improve your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is now a full-service sport fishing operation, offering great half- and full-day open party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
We all need to get around, but we all need something different from our vehicles. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have you covered if you're looking for a new truck this month. Plus, it's SUV season, so they have great deals for everyone. Whether it's a new EcoSport that is nimble and fun around town, or the Ford Explorer that is capable of putting a boat in the water and has seating for seven, Ford has you covered. Ford trucks and SUVs aren't just powerful and legendary. They have the latest technology that helps you seamlessly connect your smartphone and ensure you're safe on the road. Features like Pro Trailer Backup Assist on trucks are truly a game changer at the ramp, helping you back up a trailer by simply turning a knob on the dash and doing the hard work for you. So check out all the great deals during SUV season and save some money on the right gear for you. Learn more at buyfordnow.com or visit your San Diego County Ford dealers today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Did you know you can listen to 97.3 The Fan from the comfort of your bed? Just say, Alexa, play 97.3 The Fan.
Play 97.3 The Fan on radio.com.
Something tells me, like, you might see me walk on water.
Use Alexa to listen to 97.3 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on 97.3 The Fan.
Phones are 100% packed full. Everybody's excited to jump in and talk fishing, share story, whatever you want, man. We got it going on today, and we're going to jump right back into the phones.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Scott. Scott Cone from San Diego. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
What's up, Scott?
Hey, good morning, guys. Really enjoying the show today. I had a question about surface iron fishing. I was wondering what do you guys look for when you're trying to pick a jig? So, like, what characteristics about it? And then on the retrieve, how are you guys, what do you recommend as far as when you fish that?
That sounds like it's all you, Rick.
Yeah, some great questions for sure. And each jig is unique in the characteristics that make them better. And, you know, you could spend a whole show going on that, but I would say let's take what is probably one of the most popular surface irons, and that's a Tatti 45. And there are quite a few different attributes to the jig, and I think the easiest to identify is the sharpness in the edges. And what that means is if you lay the jig flat on the side, you know, the flat part, it's roughly diamond shape, and, the edge, both on the left and the right hand side, you know, on the top of the diamond, you want to rub your finger over that, and you'll want to feel some sharpness to it. It'll almost be like running your finger over a dull knife, where you get that kind of scratchy type feeling. What you don't want is a real soft or rounded over edge, and that's a really easy to identify thing. Next would be the sharpness in the hips. If you kind of squeeze your thumb and your pointer finger together and run it up and down the jig, when you get to the center of the diamond, where what we call the hips, you should feel a somewhat predominant little bump there. You know, rather than it being rounded off. So sharpness on the edges, sharpness of the points. You know, the hole being offset sometimes is a factor. A flatter top to the jig often is a better, slower winding jig. A more pronounced point to the top of the jig is often a faster winding jig. So,
you know, it's funny, Rick, you mentioned all this stuff, right? All these factors, and Scott, you could have the best swimming surface iron in the world. You just had 30 yellows on this thing this year, and you lost it. But you take that same exact pattern, and you go to the shop, and you buy 10 that have the same exact
right.
shape, and they're all going to swim somewhat differently.
There's a human element factor
yes.
that is involved in all of them. They come out of, you know, when they're pouring the molds, you know, there's 6 or 8 or 10 jigs on a board, and every mold gets different. You know, when you pour hot material into them, they all change bit by bit, and then when they come out, there's a human element that goes on to all of them, whether it's a grinder, the guy drilling the hole, or the way the paint's laid down. So there's a factor on all of them. What I wouldn't do is grab a hold of the ring and spin it around. I know that that's a really common thing, and I don't think I've ever seen a good jig, but what I would do is, if you know you want a blue and white 45, grab all the blue and white 45s off the rack, go through all of them and determine which ones have the sharpest edges. That might be those three. And then of those three, find the one that's got good hips to it. And that maybe is two of them. And then between those two, you lay them side by side. This one's got the hips a little bit offset. I'm going to take that one. I think that's a good way to go about it.
And they all have their swimming speed, too. Like the one you had 30 fish on might have been a faster winding jig. And the one you bought looks just like it, but it's a little bit slower where it has a sweet spot for swimming.
You got that dead on for sure. Scott, I hope that helps even a little bit, and the best thing to do is just come on down to a good shop, whether it's our shop or Dana or any good saltwater store. pick the brains of the guys, because it's a lot easier to see it visually than it is to hear it on the radio, and we'd be happy to do it with you anytime. Appreciate the phone call very much. Hey, let's head on all the way up north, up to Alaska. We got Pete is on the line right now. What's up, Pete?
Hey, good morning, Rick, Corey. Sounds like great information there. Just a really good surface iron lesson there. Thanks a lot for that, Rick and Corey. That was really, really good. I'm standing on the main highway in Gustavus, Alaska, which is Glacier Bay National Park. And the main highway is, I think, about every 4 or 5 minutes a car goes by. But this is literally the main highway.
Wow. That's cool.
And the reason I had to stand out here is because the cell service is pretty spotty here, but Adam and I kind of walked around, and Adam and I found a spot and it works. So that's why we're standing out on the main highway. So you may hear some cars going by. But we started our Let's Talk Hookup Whalers Cove trip with a little pre-trip. Came up here, flew into Gustavus on Friday, and we did the Glacier Bay boat tour yesterday, which is absolutely a must do in your lifetime to do. It's I've now done it 3 times, and it's sensational. It's just one of the natural wonders of the world to see these tidewater glaciers up close. Gustavus itself is really a cool place. It's very, very small community, flat because of all the glacier areas here, surrounded by giant peaks. Of course, Mount Fairweather being the largest of the peaks in the area, over 15,000 feet tall, which you see in the distance. And yesterday we had 75-degree weather. It was just absolutely crystal clear and sunny, which it has been for about 2 weeks up here, which is not really great for them because they've had a pretty severe drought this summer. And everything's still green and lush and beautiful, but they need some rain. And it looks like a little bit of clouds coming in today, and maybe we're going to get some rain, which might help the salmon fishing down at Whalers Cove here in a few days when we go to Whalers Cove on Tuesday. But I was just going to encourage our listeners that if you are doing a trip up to Whalers Cove with us next year, or if you're coming up to this area, Gustavus is a great spot. We're staying at a really cool little cabin called Cottonwood Cabins, which are a whopping $125 a night. And it's a full-on, like, one-bedroom cabin with a full kitchen and, you know, pull-out couch.
Cool.
If you want to put 4 people in there. $125 a night. And Frank, the owner, is just the coolest guy. They have 5 cabins there. He's building a bigger lodge with rooms in it and stuff like that. But there's lots of small inns and places to eat and stay up in Gustavus, so you can kind of do your research. But that was one we found, and I'd come back in a heartbeat to Cottonwood Cabins. It's really a cool spot. And then the Glacier Bay tour is just sensational. We went up, you know, got real close to a real close rock face, and got very, very close to Alaskan mountain goats on the side of the hill, and just fantastic. And saw lots of humpback whales and hundreds of otters, and then of course we got very, very close to the John Hopkins Glacier, which is one of the largest of the tidewater glaciers up here, and you know, floating icebergs floating by and stuff like that. And it's a small catamaran, probably like 50, 60 people on the catamaran, very comfortable. And it's about an 8-hour excursion because it's 60 miles up the bay and then 60 miles back. But they do a lot of stopping and checking and such like that. But I was just going to say, before you go on your Alaska fishing adventure, certainly Gustavus, Alaska is a great stop. Alaska Airlines flies directly here, or not directly here, from Juneau. So you stop, if you're going through Juneau, you just continue for a 16-minute flight on Alaska Airlines into Gustavus, or you can take one of the smaller planes. There's a couple planes, Alaska Seaplanes and Harris Air and stuff like that. But just do some checking on Gustavus, Gustavus, Alaska. It's kind of pronounced kind of strange, but beautiful spot, and basically one road and lots of bicycles and a few cars, and just a fun place to do. But we go back to Juneau this afternoon, and off to Whalers Cove on Tuesday. We'll fish Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at Whalers Cove, and then hopefully I'll be calling you on our, before we jump on the ferry on the way back from Whalers Cove on Saturday, with a fish report with lots and lots of big halibut and salmon and ling cod and all that stuff. So give you a check next week, but just want to thank you guys for being in there, and Have a great show.
Yeah, good deal, Pete. That sounds like a good call. And you know what? What a cool way to extend your Alaskan adventure without spending a lot of money and doing a very cool side trip. I think that's great, great info, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. It's something you definitely have to do is see Glacier Bay. And from a smaller boat rather than a big cruise ship, it's really pretty cool.
That's awesome. Well, good info, Pete. Enjoy the trip. Have a great time. We are very anxious to hear how things go for you at Whaler's Cove, and we'll be looking forward. Hopefully you're able to stand on that one little corner spot piece of wood on the dock, and you can shoot us a call and let us know how the great salmon fishing's going. You missed a great report from Captain John Beath yesterday. Sounds like you guys are in for some really good fishing.
Oh, I like that. That's good. I'll have to, as soon as I get back into cell service in June, I'll have to listen to the archive for sure on our app.
You'll dig it. There was some big halibut, some good black cod fishing. The silvers were happening and, you know, releasing a lot of kings. I know it'd be nice to throw those in the box, but still very fun to catch. And yeah, it sounds like you guys are in for a good one, buddy. Have a great trip, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next week if the cell service happens. And if not, we'll definitely look forward to having you back in the studio the following.
All right. Thanks, Rick and Corey, and have a great show. Thanks for covering.
See you, Pete. Appreciate that very much. Corey, phones are packed. Let's keep it rolling.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Mark. Mark Hall from Santee this morning. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning. Hey, on the MC swim bait, where does the placement of the hook go? I got a J hook. I know with J hooks, but I don't know where the placement of the hook goes.
Well, and that's kind of cool, Mark, because every bait I make has a unique, specific rigging, and the weedless are rigged on a weighted swim bait hook where the screws off the eye of the hook, and you wind the bait on, and then you put the hook through. Most of them have a hook pocket, and you put the hook through the hook pocket. The regular swim baits like the Viejos and the standard 5-inch and 3-inch, those are all rigged on a weighted lead head.
Traditional and, style.
Yeah, lead head. So, I mean, from Afrens to a boxer head or that style of head. And so they all have not really a J-hook style of rigging unless you're fishing lean cod like we were talking about earlier on a dropper loop style kind of thing, you know?
And always out the flat side. You know, we get that question from time to time.
Yeah,
in the shop.
Traditionally, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, most times the hook's coming out the back of the bait or the flat side.
And how important is it for the hook to be straight into the bait?
It is. It's extremely crucial because any wave or turn in the bait is going to result in a bait that doesn't swim properly straight. You know, it's going to be wavy and. To rig them on a lead head perfectly straight is the way to do it. And that's why when you see at Long Beach and you see the Fred Hall show, it's why it's so busy, because we're there to help them. And mm-hmm. we're selling the pack of hooks and a few baits and rigging them and getting the whole thing done. A pack of weighted swim bait hooks with the weedless. And Mark, you'll see if you come by a Long Beach show that it's just like that. The guy's going to Cedros. We're rigging everything up. They're buying three packs of hooks. And when they realize they bought their three packs of hooks and we're rigging them, they're turning around and buying another 10 packs of hooks. So, you know, and that's what we do at those shows. It's a show and tell and showing you how to do it, Mark.
Totally. Mark, did I answer your questions for you?
Sure does.
Appreciate that very much, buddy. Thanks a lot for the phone call.
Yeah, so we jump back in. Let's talk to Doug, our good friend of Montebello. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, Doug.
I got another question now. The spotted baby bass, where's a good spot to fish for them? And is there any legality to fishing off the boat docks?
You know, Doug, we are very fortunate in San Diego. I know you're from Montebello, and a lot of the Long Beach Harbor, L.A. Harbor, and Alamitos Bay, and Newport Bay, they all have spotted bay bass, but they're not so prolific as they are in Mission Bay and San Diego Bay. It is just San Diego Bay, we are so fortunate. You could go catch 50 fish, really, is no question. You know, if you're not catching 50, well, it was an off day. If you had 100, it wouldn't even blow my mind. I mean, that's a pretty common scenario between a couple guys. And so much eelgrass, and so we talked about it yesterday on the show with Johnny. Mission Bay is so loaded with eelgrass, and it's their habitat. They live in the middle of it. And Doug, you got to get down this direction and get one of those rentals from Johnny. There's $60 for half a day and have a good time.
And we weren't kidding. I mean, those guys will hook you up so much in that shop. They'll tell you where to go and what to do. They'll draw a little map for you, fish this area, fish that area, help you with the tide. You know, this is the time that it's biting, and this is the time to do that. It's a really good time. Doug, appreciate the phone call very much. We'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Let's jump back into it. Let's talk to Mike. Mike calling from Torrance. Welcome to the show this morning.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning, Corey. Good morning, Rick. How you guys doing?
Great, buddy. Good morning.
Good. Hey, when I'm corbina fishing, I like to fish right around my feet. If I'm fishing 10 feet away from my feet, that's the area that the big corbina are in. If I'm throwing it outside, I'm catching the perch, I'm catching the yellowfin croaker, but really I'm targeting the big corbina. And on light line, and when you get a big one, you have to use the surf to get it up on the beach, or you're not going to get them. But my question is, what kind of plastics would you use to get the big corbina in shallow?
That's
plastics, yeah, that's a tough one. And it does happen. It will happen. You know, they catch them on hard baits and that kind of scenario. They do eat anchovy and they do eat bait fish. But as you know, Mike, and as we know, and as Gundy Gunderson knows, they're in that surf line to eat sand crab and to eat crustacean. And, you know, that's kind of what you got to stay with. And if you're using a little swim bait, maybe a ghost shrimp pattern or that kind of scenario, but, man, you just can't go wrong with a crustacean imitation. You know, I know the fly guys do very well, too, and even for them it's scratchy on an artificial.
There can be times when they'll bite anything, and then don't get me wrong, catching a corbina in the surf is never an easy thing.
No.
But they're more of a sucker for live bait than they are for anything else.
By far.
Fresh bait, imported baits, whether it be you bring in ghost shrimp, you obviously catching those killer soft shell crabs right on the beach, whether you're taking lugworms and bloodworms and things like that. That's just a bait fish. It just is.
It is, yeah. And they'll eat the artificial. They totally will. I've caught them on Our trips to Abriojos, we used to, crocodile was our main lure, and man, we caught a bunch of them on a crocodile. They do eat it, but it's, you know, look where we were fishing and wasn't fished at all, and we were lucky to get a couple of them.
Hey, Mike, appreciate the phone call. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Gundy was talking about the high tide has been the main tide for the corbina lately. I like to fish right after the low tide when the water's coming up and it's opening up the crab beds to them,
sure.
So they get real active. So the first hour after the
that's good call.
Yeah, real good for me. And my buddy's been going up to Guadalupe Beach, and some of the perch are getting up there are 2.5, 3.5 pounds. It's amazing that we get a 1 pound crab, 1 pound perch here, and they're getting them on the lucky strikes at high tide.
Yeah, no, that's definitely cool stuff. The surf fishing's a lot of fun, and that's why we have Gundy call in every single week, Mike, because the reports are awesome and people love doing it. And, man, to catch a 20-pound halibut's not out of the question.
Yeah.
To catch a big corbina, catch big perch like you're talking about. Hey, we were talking about on the show yesterday at the pier, catching 30, 40-pound yellowtail off of Crystal Pier.
You might catch a perch that's the size of your hand, or you might catch a 25-pound halibut that's eating perch the size of your hand. You just never know. It's a pretty fun way to go. Mike, appreciate the phone call very much.
Let's jump back into it. Let's talk to Mike. Mike calling from San Carlos this morning, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Oh, hi. This is Mike, your expert novice.
Yes, sir.
my question is for Corey. I've been on every kind of trip there is, except like short little half-day trips or going in Mission Bay. I got a 272 tuna on the Royal Star, so I'm always thinking kind of like big fish.
Yes.
Can you use that swim bait, or you call it a lead head? Can you use that for catching bigger fish?
Absolutely, you can.
Totally.
Yeah. Is it the main way of doing it? You know, maybe not, but like when we get our albacore back around, I mean, that's one of the main things for fishing albacore is on the slide kind of deal, and Barry made that really popular with the fish trap lures, and that's just something that works. It's something that's easy to get in the water really quick, and the hookups come fast and furious.
It's a bait fish imitation, so in theory, anything that's eating a bait fish will eat a properly placed swim bait, but like you say, the scenarios differ, and the hook size and style that you use differ and things like that, but you know, anything that's eating a bait fish, it is very effective on the slide, and it's always been something in our bag of tricks for like a, you know, very tough to get a jig strike, putting a 5-inch swim bait way back, you know, triple the distance back to your normal jigs. When it's really tough jig striking, something will always bite that thing on the troll.
And that's an awesome point, Rick. On your own private boat, it's a lot easier to take a couple dozen baits with you, Mike, and a lot easier than trying to keep two scoops of bait alive, you know, and to go through the plastics on the troll. That's a lot of guys do that.
We always have guys that come down from Washington and Oregon to the tackle store, and they love your baits. The MC Swim Bait is like their favorite, and you can always tell those guys because they will buy every single 5-inch bait we have in any type of baitfish color, or wow, that kind of skipjacky one you make with a kind of a purple back, yeah, and that kind of gray hue on the bottom. Like every one of those we have in the bin, they'll take, whether it's 20 or 50 or 100, they buy every one of them, and they all say the same thing. Like, this is it, man. This is what we use up there. And those guys will troll 6 or 7 or 8 lines at a time. You know, they have make their boat look like a porcupine, and they'll just troll big schools of MC Swim baits.
That's
and
crazy.
You know, we got a 9-way jig strike, and it's wild.
That's good stuff. Hopefully that helps you out, Mike. We appreciate you joining the show, and we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to find out who's won these 2 gift packs. So we appreciate you joining us this morning. We'll be right back on 97.3 The Fan.
2 years ago, Gamakatsu set out to develop a hook light enough for live bait to swim naturally, yet strong enough to handle your next trophy bluefin. The answer? The Gamakatsu Nautilus Heavy Duty. Most captains agree the Gamakatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with the introduction of the Nautilus HD, no matter how big the tuna, Gamakatsu has a hook to handle it. The new Nautilus HD is now available with solid ring or standard hook. Get it now at select tackle shops and start getting bit.
It's Yamaha's Power the Summer sales event. For a limited time, eligible new 90 to 300 horsepower 4-strokes include 2 free years of Yamaha extended service. And eligible 2.5 to 75 horsepower 4-strokes include up to $500 in dealer credit. Visit your local Yamaha outboards dealer today. Yamaha. Reliability starts here. Offer ends August 30th, 2019. Subject to change at any time. Other restrictions and conditions apply. 24-month Yamaha extended service added to 36-month factory limited warranty. See authorized Yamaha outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
For local and long-range fishing, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among seasoned or novice anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips, as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. You need to check out the Islander on their website, islander-charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 2 to 5 day fishing. Watch the website for trips and adventures available. Experience the Islander difference. Visit islander-charters.com for all the details.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Stop asking your smart speaker to give you the latest stock prices. You don't own any. Instead, listen to your favorite host talk about the Padres. Tell your smart speaker to play 97.3 The Fan. You can use your smart speaker to stream 97.3 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on 97.3 The Fan. And we had Adam pull a couple names out of the hat, and we came up with Reggie and Camarillo. Man, he's going
to
be stoked.
Yeah, what good timing that is for Reggie going to on a Cedros trip. That was cool.
Yeah, he's
going to
love it. And Mike and Santee. So both those guys have won $100 worth of MC. I'll throw in a hat. We'll throw in a little goodie pack and send it on the way this week, and you guys will be stoked.
That's great, Corey. Well, I had so much fun. This was a very fun show, and I hope we get to do that again. This was just about your calls and about your questions and talking fishing and having a great time doing it. And one, Corey, I want to say thanks so much for all the knowledge and being such an asset to the team, and we're so stoked to have you. And I know that things are so busy. It still blows me away that MC Swim Baits are poured by you. Everyone, it's not a factory. It's not a big team of guys. It's Corey pouring every single bait by hand. And just go into Fisherman's Landing one time and look at the display of MC Swim Baits and see the hundreds that we have. And we are one of all the locations you service. you just make such a killer bait. It's the top of the line, and I just want to say kudos for keeping us all in the best swim bait out there.
I appreciate that, Rick, and it's guys like you. It's the listeners. It's the customers that really keep it going. I have a passion for doing it. I love creating. I love doing it. I look at it as an artistic side and really don't want to expand it any, you know, much further than what it is because I love doing what I do.
Cool.
And keeping it small.
Well, you do it the best. There's no doubt about it. Well, hey, I appreciate that. I had so much fun with you today. It was a good time. And looking forward to talking to you again next week. We've got another couple of great shows coming from you next Saturday. Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. He and I always have a blast talking about fishing and fishing tackle. A great guest. And the next Sunday, Pat McDonald from the One Los Cabos Tuna Jackpot Tournament, the Western Outdoor News Cabo Tuna Jackpot. So going to be another great show, some more great information. Huge thanks to Adam on the other side of the glass, taking care of all the phone calls, taking care of the archive show. Big thanks to Brian for keeping us on the air. We had a great time today talking fishing, talking your phone calls, and we're going to do that again next week. Again, next Saturday with Doug, next Sunday with Pat. You stay tuned. We got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way right here on 97.3 The Fan.